as a family photographer, there always seems to be this dance between creating art that's true to the families that we're photographing and also making something that's beautiful and incredible and a good representation of who we are as artists. I feel like I've struggled with this throughout my career at different times and have had like periods where I feel like I put limitations on my clients and try to have them fit into this certain box of what's trendy, what's popular, what I think is going to perform well on social media, right? Whether that be, you know, a certain location, a maxi dress blowing in the wind, or a perfectly curated home session, whatever it might be. And then I've had periods of time where I really crave authenticity and realness, and my top priority is always making the images be a representation of the family and whatever form that may be, whatever style, whatever we're doing. And I honestly feel like the latter is the space that I'm in right now. I'm really craving that authenticity. And I do think there's going to be or has been a shift in our industry to be more accepting of different types of art. And it can be messy and it can be perfect, all of the things, a different range. And I'm so excited about this. So if you're someone who wants to learn some ways that you can kind of shift your expectation and allow your sessions to be more authentic and real and outside the box and focusing on the family that you're documenting, then this episode is for you. Welcome to the Fill Your Frame podcast. I'm your host, Jillian Golding. I was a young mama and full-time teacher when I first picked up my camera and started down the path of creating a highly successful and sought-after photography business. I managed to turn that side hustle into a full-time job that sustains a balanced life where I can give more to my five littles at home. After building this business for the last 10 years, I want to invite you into a space where you can take a peek behind the scenes of my camera-ready life. Join in weekly where I will open up discussions with other creative artists turned business pros as we share real life strategies, stories, and action steps for you to turn your passion into profits. Lean in because we're about to get the show started. Remember, you can subscribe to today's show on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Audible. We have my incredible friend Maggie Reckemer on the podcast today. She is so much fun and I'm so thrilled that she agreed to be a guest and chat with me today all about family photography. Maggie is a lifestyle and portrait photographer and educator focusing on all things family storytelling. She's based out of Moline, Illinois, and she is a fire wife to her uber supportive fire captain husband and mama to a sun-kissed high energy Abe and always smiling hugest dimples girl ever, Ezra Joe. She has a passion for all things art, whether it be the newest vinyl, indie screenplay, or gallery at the local museum. She strives to create an environment where people feel free to be themselves in both her work and her personal life. I can't wait for you to hear from her and get to know her better. She's incredible, and I'm so glad that we've become such good friends. So let's get to the episode and chat with Maggie. Okay, let's welcome Maggie to the show. How are you, Maggie?
I'm doing great. So excited to be here.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy that we're finally doing this. We've been wanting to do it forever and it is happening. And I am so excited about our topic today. It's going to be incredible. But first, I want to have you do a little bit of an introduction. So can you talk a little bit about yourself, how you got into family photography and all the things so that my listeners can get to know you?
Yes, that sounds great. I'm Maggie Reckemer. I'm out of Moline, Illinois. We're in the Quad Cities. We're based right on the river between Iowa and Illinois. So many people are like, oh, are you close to Chicago? Like everyone hears Illinois and they're like, oh, you're in Chicago? I'm like, no, I'm practically in Iowa, but yes, I'm in Illinois. I've been doing photography since 2015 is when I opened business. I actually originally was an occupational therapist before this. I loved graphic design and art in high school. And somewhere on my path, you know, healthcare was stable. Healthcare was like, you will get a job. Like this was the route to go. And I like people and helping people. So it was a good fit, but I never felt super like passionate about OT. I liked my coworkers and the patients were great, but I wasn't like gung-ho like all these other people sitting in class. So
yeah,
I had done it a while. And then my husband knew I still had like this artistic passions. So he bought me my first little Canon Rebel. I think that's what most people started on. And, you know, like a little nifty 50 lens. And off I went into the world. People just started asking me. I was taking my own and they took them. What's really interesting is I actually, once we had kids or got pregnant, I quit my photography business. I closed shop.
Oh,
yeah. I'm like, I can't be an OT and take all these sessions and have this baby and be a wife and all the things. I closed it down and said, I'm done. And then about, 6 months into my maternity leave, we just had decided I wasn't going back to work. I was like, I think I'm going to reopen. And then So here I am. It's great.
I love that story. And I love what I loved about it is too, is that like photography was a constant for you, right? Throughout your whole journey. And same for me, like through college, through all the things that I thought I was supposed to do, quote unquote, right? That felt like the real job. But yet in the back of my mind, photography was always there and it was always something that inspired me and motivated me. And I just loved. So I love we share that because it's like, when you really love something, you're passionate about it, it never goes away regardless of what else you're doing, right? Like you always have that fire.
Yes, oh, exactly.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So tell us a little bit about really quick before we jump into the topic, just kind of how you got into families. So did you ever do weddings? Have you only always done families?
I used to do everything. So right when I started, I'm like, yeah, I'll do headshots. Sure. I'll do boudoir. Oh, you have a wedding? I'll shoot that. I kind of did everything when I started, which I'm glad I did. I don't necessarily think people like everyone needs to niche down and do one thing. Right. But I think that as I went through like trying everything and with like what hours I wanted to work and what I felt connected to. Once having a family, I was so connected to the family unit and documenting parenthood and the connections at different ages that documenting anything family related just fits so perfect. So now I do newborns, maternity, and families, all lifestyle and based on connections. I don't do any of the like baby posing and all that stuff. I send those off to the people who are really good at it. And that's where I'm at. And it's just like a perfect fit.
Yeah. And it's incredible because that's kind of how it was for me too. And once you find really what you love and what I know you do education as well, like me, and when you have students and people that you're mentoring and you tell them like, yeah, you don't necessarily have to niche down, but it is good at the beginning to try everything, right? Because then you really find out what lights you up. And then once you find out what lights you up, then you can go with it. Because had I not tried all the other things like cake smashes, all of that, like I wouldn't have realized how much I did not like those to really realize how much I loved photographing families, right? Like, it's what lights us up. Okay. So I'm so excited to chat today. So you and I have been kind of messaging and all of that. And we're going to chat about family photography and how to kind of make it more client-centered and really kind of revolving our sessions around truly documenting our clients in an authentic way that not is the quote unquote authentic way, meaning what the photographer wants, but letting it be led by our clients to truly represent who they are. And I feel like this is something I've been thinking about for a little while that I'm hoping there is a little bit of a shift in the industry. And I feel like I'm seeing bright spots of it to where it's not just all about what we as photographers want to create and show. It's starting to shift to what are truly like what our clients want and what really represent them. Right. So I am excited to get into this with you. So let's talk about your approach because I love your work. It's incredible. We've been friends on Instagram for a while. So I'm excited to meet face to face. Tell us about your approach to family photography because it is unique and a little bit different and how you capture the like authentic storytelling images that you do.
Thank you so much. I feel like it's just been such an evolution. When I first started, I think you admire so many great photographers, right? There's so much beautiful work that you'll be like, okay, I'm going to do it like this. Okay, no, their way is the way they need to do it. I need to do it. And you kind of go through all this stuff. And suddenly I got to this point, I'm like, wait a minute. No, what I want to document is families and how they really are. And then I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean to me? So it's really evolved into, I try to make them as family centered and around them as possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I like them to be artsy and creative and pretty and everyone to feel like they feel like themselves and look their best and all of those things. Cause everyone wants a pretty family photo, but I also want them to look at it and be like, this is so us. Like, I'm so glad you captured this. Mm-hmm. So what I started doing is when I first have families inquire, a lot of times I'm asking them, okay, do you have a special location? You know, was it maybe where you got engaged? Have you taken pictures there before? Is it your home? Or do you guys have a special activity you always do? Are there certain things, even your kids, like their blankie or a favorite story we can incorporate into your session? And really it only takes one little thing for my brain to start turning, right?
Yeah.
And if they're like, I have no idea and they want something a little creative, I have a list and usually something on that list fits the family. For example, I have a family who are like, well, what do you have on your list? Cause they've worked with me before. I'm like, okay, cute little local ice cream shop. They're like, oh, we love that. We love it there. So we're going to be doing their session there this summer. And they're like, it'll be special to them because they love going and getting this ice cream in the summer. And it's also kind of fulfilling one of my creative bucket list items.
Yeah.
So I also don't want it to seem like everything is this huge creative idea or spot. I also think that even your families who are like, well, we don't really have anything, but we just want like somewhat traditional family photos, I still think you can lean into the phases that the kids are in. If they're like, oh, I love how my little boy waves goodbye, or it's really important to document the end of our breastfeeding journey or anything like that. I still think you can make them really client-centered, even if it's not like some idea that sparks this huge creative path.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And I love the idea of kind of having a list, because sometimes clients just don't know, right? Like you might say to them, oh, what's something you and your family love to do together? And they honestly on the spot can't think of anything. And then you might mention like ice cream or making pancakes or whatever it might be. And then they're like, oh my gosh, we totally do that. I just forgot, you know? But being able to interweave those things into the session, I think is so great, because I can think about my family. And like, I'd love to have you document us someday. But I think like, okay, what are the things that we do on the daily that really are kind of interwoven with who we are as a family? And those are the things I want captured, right? Like, I'm sorry, I'm tearing up. I don't know why I cry when I talk about this, because I think what I don't want is some misrepresentation of we're this family. Like, yes, it's beautiful if we're at a pretty location and pretty outfits that I had to fight my kids to put on, right? Like all these things where I'm like, does this really represent who we are? I don't think so. Right. So I think there is definitely a time and a place for those more, typical sessions. But I also think sometimes I like to just do sessions that are super low key, really true to who people are, that bring out in them just things that are unique to their family. And do you see that as you go with this approach?
Yes, 100%. And number one, packing my bags to come see you and your family right now. But yeah, I really feel like people are more comfortable that they know it's surrounding around them, and there's no pressure from me for it to be a certain way, right? Like really, I think it's just a mutual agreement between us that I trust them, they trust me, and then it's going to go smooth. And usually the kids, the parents are so excited because they're already going to do an activity or go somewhere everyone is really pumped up about. Right. Instead of kind of being like, sometimes, you know, we hear a lot of people like, oh, family photos, like, oh, we have to go do family photos tonight. And the best compliment is, you know, I'm leaving the session. I get a text from mom that says, oh my gosh, we had so much fun. The kids are talking about you. My husband feels like the time flew by. And that's what I want. I don't want my clients to be like, just, you know, like, oh gosh, like dreading coming, hanging out with me. I want us all to be excited to create together. And so I just feel like that's been like the most rewarding thing when really shifting from like all these things that I see, or maybe I want in a session, and moving it to them, like we're all happier.
Well, thank you. And I love that you said that. And one thing I want to touch on that you mentioned earlier that I just really want to pull out is when you said you stopped doing what you thought you should do, meaning what everyone else in the industry is doing. And you really took a moment to pause and to start thinking about how do I, Maggie, as an artist, want to document these families. And I think when people do that, like that is when they start creating their best work. I know, you know, when I've mentored, I know you mentor as well. And sometimes when people are so stuck up in the hamster wheel of Instagram and the hamster wheel of creating what's going to get the most likes and this and that, like, it doesn't feel authentic. And I feel like people see through that because they're not really being in alignment with who they are as an artist. And so when I look at your work, like, I feel like, dang, like she's in alignment with who she is as an artist and a person. And that's why you make the magic you do. You know, you're not trying to set out to make something that someone else is or anyone else. It's like, it's who you are. It's in your soul and what you feel and how you interact with your clients in that way to create all of that. And it just feels so natural because it's really in alignment with what you want to create. Right.
Thank you so much.
That's welcome. And I feel like that's such a magical place to be. And I feel like I'm there too. And it took me a long time. And I feel like I still have work to do. Actually, I'm going through like a little bit of a inner shift. I feel a little, and I feel like, and that's okay to do too, right? It ebbs and flows. Sometimes we shift. Sometimes we want to document things differently based on what we're experiencing. And that's beautiful, right? But going back to you with the session. So when you're documenting these families, I feel like you having this approach helps them feel less awkward, right? Because I know some of the things that people will say is like, my clients feel awkward. How do I get them to feel comfortable? Like in front of the camera, like going, even going to an ice cream shop, but like, so talk about that. Cause I feel like for me, the times when I'm shooting in alignment with my clients, what they really want, I feel like they show up differently and are less awkward, right?
Yes, I 100% agree. I feel like the first thing that really helps is prepping them beforehand, right? I mean, I'm like an over communicator to my clients because sometimes I'm like, they're really busy. They might read half of it or they're going to forget. If they're anything like my family or your family, probably you're so busy and your little brain is turning all day with a million things to remember. So, yes. You know, I have a whole workflow where they get a questionnaire that really dives into like where they're at as a family, what's special to them right now, their journey to parenthood. If there's any highs and lows I should be aware of beforehand. I feel like not only is this information important for me to know before their session, but I also feel like it's showing them I'm invested in who they are in the phase of life they're in. I'm just not here to take their money and take their pictures and send off and be done. I really do want to get to know them. And I think that makes such a difference going into their session that they already know that like, oh, I feel like I know you already. We've emailed, you've chatted with me on Instagram, or like, I just try to make it really personal and not from like, I need it to be personal to be good, but because I truly care. Like I really want their photos to be special for them. Another thing I do is when the family shows up, I'm always like, if the kids seem open, I'll get down on their level and talk to them or try to play with them so they're comfortable, introduce myself to mom and dad so that the kids can see like, oh, she's friends with mom and dad. That helps. I also, during sessions, people are always like, you are so calm. And I even if in my brain, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not going how I thought. I just am like, cool as a cucumber.
Right.
I still ramp up the energy to play with kids, but it's always just relax. I don't want my family to feel like I'm rushed because I'm not. I have time set aside for them.
Right.
I always help them the whole way through. I tell them I'm going to direct you and give you prompts. And if something's going well, I'll tell you to keep going. I'm never going to leave you hanging and I'll keep things moving. We can take breaks, all of those things. And I just feel like all of that together just really helps them feel comfortable. I mean, there's always the families, the first 10 to 15 minutes that are kind of like stiff, but once you get going, it helps. Mm-hmm. I also, if a mom maybe tells me dad is maybe, he's not really into photos or kind of gets anxious for photos, I'll bring my husband. He is a social butterfly.
Perfect.
He can come kind of hang out and he loves it. You know, he'll carry my gear and hold the babies and all the things and talk it up with dad. So that helps too, that I have like a little assistant person to help if we need another hand. Yeah.
No, I love all those tips. And I think if people are listening, what they can take, this communication is so vital. And I'll say like those that are just starting, like don't feel discouraged. Cause when I first started, like I would email back and forth and that's it. Like I would show up not knowing what they look like. I could have been meeting like a mass murderer in a parking lot and I wouldn't have known. Right. But as you grow in your business, you realize how important that communication is. And I can see once I started doing that and got a workflow going, a questionnaire, all the things you mentioned, I do a lot of similar things. I recently just started doing phone calls in the last year. And that really helps me just because I'm a talker and I like to over-explain, probably the ADHD in me. But so then when I have that correlation with them, I'm able to do that over-explaining and they can ask questions. And then for me, I'm like, okay, there's less back and forth emails, which are hard for me. Right. So I feel like that's really helped. But I think each of us is going to develop our own process. And I think we have to do what works best for us to be able to just have that rapport and connection with our clients. And I think what you said is so great. Like they show up differently. You can get the dads wrapped in. I know with the dads, what I do is I kind of just call out the elephant in the room and I'm like, hey, I know there's like 50 other places you'd rather be, but like, let's just have fun with this. And I promise I'll make it fun. It won't be too bad. And they like laugh. And I think they feel like seen then. Cause it's like, oh, she gets it. Like she's going to make this fun. She knows I don't really want to be here, you know? And then usually by the end, they're like loving it and like, oh my gosh, it's over already. And I'm like, yes, that's when I know it's good. Right. Mm-hmm. Like that's how you know. Yep. You hit it. So yeah, we do a lot of similar things, which I love. I just think communication is so important for new photographers, even experienced ones that maybe aren't doing like a ton of communication, is really understanding that our clients aren't going to read everything, right? Like I might send something, you said you send stuff and you might think they probably forget, they don't read it all. It's life. So then we can also talk about it, all of those things. But I feel like, and maybe you do agree, like once you started doing all of that, the sessions got so much better.
Oh, for sure. There's like a night and day difference. Even the sessions to where maybe I'm not getting a lot of communication back from them, which I totally understand. Yeah. I feel like we're both kind of thrown into it. And I'm going to make it work. I'm still going to get them beautiful images, but it still misses a little bit of that magic with us communicating before and knowing better and having a little bit more of a plan. I'll roll with it for them.
Yeah.
It really does help. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And then showing up, like knowing the kids' names and talking to them, getting on their level, like that will work wonders to make connections with the kids, to get them to kind of buy in and have fun together. So I love that you do that. Same thing. Okay. So let's talk about location. So I know sometimes it's like, okay, you had a list of fun places like the ice cream shop and places you might shoot. So I know that like lighting is a factor, right? So like if people are thinking, okay, I want to do something outside the box, like they're talking about, but how do I find these places? So can you kind of go through what your process is with that?
Yes. I honestly, a lot of times I'm just driving around either, you know, to get my kids or to some different place, like a different area of town we haven't been, and I'll see a spot. I'm like, ooh. And so when we stop at the spot, I'll put it in my little notes on my phone. So a lot of times I'm just seeing different spots and like, oh, that'd be a cute session. Or even sometimes I'll see something in a movie or something my family's doing, or I'll see a family doing that sparks an idea. And I just keep a huge like brain dump list on my computer. If it's a location like the ice cream shop, I'll call them ahead of time and ask them if it's okay. I'm always just like over the top nice to businesses.
Yeah.
I talk about how beautiful the space is, and that's why I want to photograph there. And they're usually like, oh, thank you. I would love to have you here. I think it's really important to remind them that you have insurance to cover anything that would happen, so they're not liable. And then I also just try to say, hey, what time of day are you not as busy? Or is this something we'd need to do before or after hours? You know, is there a fee you might want me to pay to cover extra work or whatever? So I offer all of that stuff. And usually I think I've only been turned down once in all the year.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
Usually like I kind of get like, well, and then once I keep talking, they're like, well, okay. And then we meet and they're so nice on the day of. So that's been really good. I also feel like it's really important just to be really respectful of the spaces when you're there. Like if there's other people, like I shot at a Made Right a few weeks ago, and there's other people in there. So I'm like, hi, excuse me, I'm a photographer. I'm going to be shooting in this area. I'll make sure you're not in any of the photos. You guys don't need to move or do anything differently. I just don't want you to feel like uncomfortable while I'm shooting.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to be like nice to the other patrons there and really respect the business. But people are usually like excited. It's usually like a cute family, right? So they're like, oh, this is so cute. So totally. I think doing all that stuff, and just, I always just feel like being kind and like forward about what you need and stuff is just perfect for using like unique locations if you need permission. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's so great. I did want to touch on your Made Right, cause that's a hardware store, right?
No, Made Right is it's a, like an old diner.
Oh, it's okay.
Do I have those there, Made Rights?
No, we don't have those in California. No, we don't.
No, so it's just like a little, it's a chain here in the Midwest, and they're like little diners, and it's like shakes and burgers and hot dogs and that.
Did you post those? I feel like I saw them. So cute.
I did, yeah.
Well, and I just love, because I can tell in those images, like that everyone's really comfortable and just having fun. How long do you, like if you're shooting in a diner or something like that, how long are you typically shooting for?
I think I only shot an hour. Typically my family sessions are about an hour, unless like we're somewhere and like everyone's super happy and I still have tons of ideas and everyone's having fun, I'll shoot longer. Yeah. But usually I get like more than enough in an hour. I'm an overshooter. So there's a lot in there.
Same. And then as far as time of day, so talk to me a little bit about that, because I know people feel like, oh, I only have to shoot at golden hour. Like that's the typical norm. I have to do what everyone else is doing. And I'm like, no, you don't have to do that. So talk to me a little bit about that.
I feel like I was definitely that photographer. Like I only can shoot at golden hour. Okay. On September 16th, it sets at 8 o'clock. I need to shoot from 7 to 8 PM. Oh no, we can't go at 6, you know, very stringent about when I could shoot. And I think once I kind of evolved into this, probably even just in the last year, I was kind of like, screw golden hour. Yeah. I mean, if they want beautiful, warm images, or like if the setting seems to call for it, great. Right. But I just forced myself to start shooting a whole bunch of different times, you know, high sun, low light, all of the things, because it was so much more accommodating to the locations and my clients. Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to shoot indoors, I would prefer natural light. So I'm still going to try to shoot during the day if I can.
Right.
But you know, I bought a flash this last year, so I'm getting more comfortable with that just so I can have that flexibility for my clients. I think as a photographer, the best thing you can do, especially for starting out, is learning your camera settings so well. Yes. And understanding the light and how it changes as you move and how the sun changes in the sky, or even how it's coming into a home or a location, and everything gets so much easier. I am the most simple editor. If I have anybody ask, hey, can I do an editing mentorship? I'm like, well, it's going to be about 10 minutes. You understand Lightroom. I don't have much to teach you. I am a straight out of camera shooter. Yeah. And it just makes my life better. I'm not sitting at my computer as long. There's less editing time on the back end and post-processing. It feels really good when I just turn my camera on to my clients and they're like, oh, I love it. I'm not doing a ton of tweaking. So they're like, this is great. And so excited. So I think that's really great. And I think that's it.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. And I think that what you said is so key about understanding your camera inside and out and learning how to shoot in different lighting situations. And I think sometimes, I know for me, when I was stuck in that box of golden hour, I was just too scared to try anything else. Like it wasn't like, I just wasn't confident with my skills. I didn't realize I could do it. I could figure it out. All it takes is practice, right? I wouldn't necessarily go out and start, you know, schedule a family session at noon and practice on a client, but I would take my kids out and try different lighting, try dappled light, find some open shade, like try ways to just be intuitive and just let the light guide. And it's so fun to do things like that. And now I love challenges because it excites me. It's something different. If I'm shooting in light, I don't always shoot in. It's a challenge for myself. And I love that too. So if people are listening, it's like, just try different light. And I promise you'll master it. Once you just try it, it's not that hard.
Right? No. And I really think too, even with like, if you have clients and you have extra time, say you're shooting, maybe not quite at golden hour, but you could still do some harsh light. I'm always just really honest with my clients. I'm like, hey, we have a little extra time. Could I try something for 10 minutes? Yeah. So then if you completely flub it up, they're not expecting it. And usually my clients are like, ooh, you want to try something? Okay. You know, if they're having fun, they don't mind. And then it's time to kind of experiment with that. And I think it's such an advantage. You get so much more variety in galleries if you can have a variety of lighting. My favorite outdoor lighting, and I know some people probably hate it, is when like white fluffy clouds and the bright sun. So like some are like diffuse light when the clouds go in front and then the clouds move and I have to run around to get the light I want. I love it because their galleries have so much beautiful variety. They have this beautiful bright peeking through light from the clouds, but then they have some with puffy white clouds in the sky. They also might have some perfectly diffuse images. So I just think it adds so much more of like a storytelling element to their galleries too.
Oh, it absolutely does. I think light is, such a storytelling tool. You know what I mean? Like you can look at a family session and if you have a variety of light, the mood will change throughout the session. You know, it helps bring out emotion, all of those things. So that's what I always tell students is like, light is my pure inspiration. Like that is what lights me up the most. Like I think in the beginning I was like overcast. Yay. I can shoot wherever I want and all of this. Now I'm like, if it's not sunny, I don't want to do it. I'm like, nope. I mean, I will if I need to, but I'm like, nope. Can we wait for some sunny day? Cause I want to have that dynamics. And a lot of times clients agree. That's what they love about my work is the lighting. And so, you know, of course I can make anything work, but I feel like when people understand that storytelling aspect, it just changes the game.
Oh yeah. The sun is the best.
Best. Okay. So let's talk about, I just wanted to talk about a few maybe, or a couple common mistakes that you see photographers making when photographing families and maybe how we can kind of overcome them or things like that. Is there anything that kind of sticks out to you when you think, whether it be yourself or student people you've coached, things like that?
Yeah, I think in general, and we've touched on this a little bit, I feel like you can get really sucked into the feelings. You talked about the Instagram hamster wheel. Yeah. That things have to be a certain way. And unfortunately, you know, I feel like I don't deep dive in Facebook photography groups, but so many people just rat on each other. Like, oh, I don't like the way this is done. I'm like, hello, it's art.
Yes. There's no
certain way. So I think like moving your brain past perfectly posed, perfect clothes, the perfect setting, the light needs to be exactly perfect, or all these like photography rules. It's way more fun to break the rules and try stuff. And let go of like this perfection need with like shooting your families. my best sessions are always when we fully trust each other. I also do love some good inspo. I'm not going to be like, oh, I don't like Instagram, because
Of course. Yeah.
But I think it's so important that if you're like looking at some family photography you love, to really think hard about why you like it. You know what I mean? It's not the whole thing. You usually like, maybe it's simple as their hand placement or how they're lit, the angle they shot, the colors they're wearing, their textures. Maybe it's just a unique setting. You don't need the whole thing to inspire your work. I'm so inspired by so many photographers, but usually I'm like, ooh, I love that angle they shot this. I'm going to try to shoot from obviously them laying on the ground with shooting their camera up and stuff like that. I think that's super cool. So I think that it's just really important to like use stuff, it's inspiration, and make sure you don't go to a place where you're like, oh, I just want my stuff to be just like them, because that would just be such a disservice to the world to not have what you could create without feeling like a copycat of somebody else.
Well, and I think, and I'll touch on this one before we move on to another one, but I think too, some of it comes from lack of confidence. At least for myself, I can look at my journey in photography. And sometimes when I was creating work that was quote unquote, like what I thought was good for Instagram, things like that, it was a lack of confidence on my part to really step into who I was as an artist, whether it was lack of knowledge or just that lack of confidence. But once I kind of made that shift to really tap into who I was, like, who am I, Jillian, as an artist? What do I want to create? That's when the magic starts happening. And those are the sessions that are the most memorable. And ironically, those are the ones that get noticed the most, because you are doing something different, right? Like, we are all so different with our story, what we bring. And when we realize that, that's when we step into our power as an artist versus trying to be backup or copycat versions of other people, right? Like,
yeah, it's amazing. And it's so cool when you can see like a shift in someone's work, right? Like, if you follow somebody and you enjoy their work, or your friends in the photography industry, and suddenly you just see this shift to where you're like, oh my gosh, this is you. This is your work. Like, I see a little piece of you in all of your work. It's just so cool and so inspiring. Cause I think all of us fall prey to like, I want to be like that. But I think a lot of times it's because you're seeing somebody so sure in themselves and their work, just like you said.
That's it. And I think, and being able to step back and realize, like, I can appreciate other photographers' work like yours. Like, I appreciate and love yours, but we shoot differently, and that's okay. You know what I mean? We both are doing what aligns with us. And just because I love yours doesn't mean I have to go copy it. Right. So I think that point of understanding, like, there's going to be artists out there that you admire and love and appreciate, but it doesn't mean you have to shift your style to emulate that. Right. So like you said, find what you love about it and maybe pull small aspects in and integrate it into the work you're already doing, and try, like for me, I want to go find like a cute ice cream shop or something and try that. But it's like, I'll still shoot my way with emulating that inspiration from something that you might've done. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's a good way to go about it. Okay. Is there another thing that pops out in your mind?
Oh gosh. I think the biggest thing would be like the same thing we said before, with not like learning your camera well enough and feeling comfortable. I think that you just want to move on to maybe like this preset. I feel like is always thinking like, well, what presets do they use? I'm like, well, it's not going to solve all of your problems. It's not going to solve that, like, you know, your lighting or how you shot it for the light wasn't correct. So I think a lot of times we were relying on like these outside things. Like, I just told somebody yesterday, I'm like, man, now AI is going to reduce all the noise. Like, eventually we're not going to have to do anything correct in camera. I still think it's so important to be able to do that. And then it gives you so much time to work in the moment, right? If you're having to constantly keep fiddling with all of your settings, then that's less time for you to interact with your clients. So obviously we all started somewhere. It's going to take time and patience to learn everything and be fast with changing stuff. But I think once you get to that point, you'll realize you have so much space to be more present and creative during your sessions for your clients.
Yes. No, that's perfect. Because I can look back to times where I wasn't confident shooting manual mode, and it totally interrupted the flow of the session because I was like having to adjust things in my camera, and I worried about that. So then I couldn't be present to converse with my clients and just let that flow happen. Or now it's not even a thought. And so that's just like, it happens automatically. Now I can be present for them, talk to them, guide them, lead them, capture moments that are maybe happening in a second, right? Notice that I have to be ready for. And so it does change the game as far as the quality and types of images you're able to capture when you have that mastered. Cause you don't want to have to worry about that, worry about posing, worry about lighting, like all these things. It's so much to think about at one time and plates to juggle simultaneously that if you cannot worry about your camera settings, like that's good. That's a golden. Yeah.
So overwhelming. And then it's like so much more fun too.
Ah, absolutely. Okay. Can you think of a story or like a particular session or memory that you've had that was like super special to you or that you felt like was a breakthrough for you?
One that I thought of that was really special. I'm like, I'm going to try not to cry when I tell it to you. Oh, okay. I have a friend from college and one of her little boys, unfortunately, he passed away from cancer a couple of years ago. And while he was going through treatment, I had messaged her and I'm like, do you need some family photography? You know, it's just like so near and dear to my heart that like you get to capture your children. And so we did an in-home session and he is obsessed with garbage trucks, like loves them, like waits for them coming down the road. And so I took photos of the family in the house, him and his little brother playing with these garbage trucks, them having like a living room dance party. And then we did like a water balloon fight and playing with her outdoor toys and all this stuff. And she still messages me and she's like, these are my favorite photos of my family. Cause if it's all of us in our home together and he's so happy doing his favorite things. And I'm like,
oh, I'm like tearing up and I have the chills.
I know. And they are the kindest family and so wonderful. So I just feel like sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in all of this noise in anything we're doing. And like suddenly that something like that just stops you in your tracks. And makes you realize how important the stuff you are doing really can be to a family. Cause we never know how fast life can change for a family or what happens. So that's one of the ones that I always think of that I'm like, this is what's special. Like if you think about stuff like that before you're going into your sessions, like the need for all of this other stuff kind of goes away and you're like, I just want to capture them together as a family, loving each other and having these connections. So I think that's really helped me in my photography journey, like center me when you can get kind of caught up in all that other stuff.
Oh, I love that. That was perfect. We could have just talked about that. Seriously.
I know.
It really just emulates everything we're talking about, right? Like, because the core is really about family and connection and moments, right? And fleeting moments that pass. And whether it be that situation or just kids growing up, it's like our time is limited. And so that is just a perfect example of the power of the work that we get to do. Like I say get because we're so lucky to do it, right? So lucky to document these families and help them see the beauty that they have and share that maybe they don't see on the regular because life is hard and life is messy and busy and all of the things. And so when we allow them that moment to like peek in from the outside, it's like, wow, my family really is amazing. I've had several clients, you know, when we do in-home sessions or out, it's like, they're like, I forgot what a good connection my family has. Like you forget because you're just busy with life. And when you stop for a moment and you look at these photos, like the mom's like, I look back on them all the time when days are hard, right? To remember, oh my gosh, you know, my son does hug me that way, or he does this thing. And, you know, it's like, that's what we want. That's why we do this. And that's so impactful. Oh, I love that story. Thank you for sharing that. And those are memories she's going to have forever, right? To always look back on. That's incredible. Okay. So if there are people listening that are like, you know, aspiring photographers or already photographers, but maybe they realize after listening to our episode that they aren't being in alignment with themselves as an artist or feeling like they're documenting what's true to themselves. They might be thinking right now, like, oh my gosh, like that's how I want to feel when I take photos and I don't feel that. Like, what advice do you have for them, do you think?
I think going back to how we like talking about how we prep the families and talk to the families, I also think you need to show people that that's what you want to do. You know, we talk about how you're marketing yourself, how, you know, like you're showing up on social media or your Facebook or an email list or your website. You want to show people those images that are more storytelling. So that may be model calls or just starting to incorporate it in some of your more traditional sessions. So you can start showing people what you can create. I also think you have to lean into yourself and those family connections, personalities, likes, activities, and start kind of deep diving into yourself and what they like to bring that out. You can just really form a whole session unique to a family over one thing, right? I've had families say like one item in their questionnaire, you know, if they say farmer's market, I'm like, ooh, let's go to the farmer's market on Saturday. I'll take the photos there. Like I could just go crazy with all the ideas.
Right.
So I think finding like that one little gold nugget for families and starting to center it around them. A lot of times clients, they don't see that vision, right? So you might need to make a vision board for them either through Canva or on Pinterest and kind of be like, hey, this is what it would look like to get them excited and kind of on board. So I think being able to actually visually show them before it's even happening is super helpful for like a first step.
Yeah, no, definitely. I love that. And I think too, because sometimes with Pinterest, it's so great to make a mutual board with clients, because what we say and what we're describing and we picture in our minds isn't always how they interpret it and what they picture, right? So you might be like neutrals and this and that. And then it's like, you show them and they're like, oh, that's not what I would have picked. I'm so glad you showed me. And I'm like, ding, ding, this is why, because everyone has their own just preconceived notions about what's what, right? And so when we are able to like, I always tell my students, like, you want to tell them multiple times, you want to write it to them so they can read it. You want to show them visually, like, you think it's over communicating and annoying, but it's not. Like, it's only going to make the session better because you have that communication and that mutual expectation of what's going to happen. Right. Because yeah. I don't know about you, but I've shown up where I thought I've over communicated and then they show up and I'm like, that is not what I
Yes. And I love what you said about telling it different ways, because we all learn different ways. Yeah. You can't assume, like, because you learn the best visually, they learn the best visually. So sometimes it's typing it out or calling on the phone and having a chat or whatever. I'm a big voice texter, and I'm always like, you don't have to voice text me back. I just want you to like hear me versus me type it all out. I think that's helpful. So yes, 100% with multiple ways of communication is so, so helpful.
It's the school teacher in me. I can't help it, right? When I taught kindergarten and first grade, it was like, everyone has different learning modalities. You have to cater to them and find what works to communicate what you need. That's just the bottom line. And when you do that, it helps your clients build that trust. And also they feel heard and seen from you because you're putting in that extra effort to make their session special. Like, nothing's worse than feeling like a photographer just wants to take your money and they're not putting any effort in to get to know you. And they're just going to show up on a random hillside and shoot you in this dress that they picked. Right? Like, no, like, that's not the vibe that I want to be doing, at least. And I know it's not what you want to be doing. So let's take that extra step and make that effort. Okay. So tell me a little bit about, so speaking of, you know, people learning and, people that are progressing in their photography journey, I know you do subscriptions. So, which is something I think is so cool on Instagram. So tell me a little bit about that.
So I started doing subscriptions at the beginning of this year, and it's been so fun, and I have so many fun subscribers and people are really enjoying it. It's only $4.99 a month, which I'm always like, less than your favorite drive-through coffee right now for a whole month. Yeah. I usually show up every week and I just do a poll to all the subscribers and ask what they want to learn about. I usually pick some topics that honestly that I'm like, ooh, this would be fun to talk about. And then they vote. And then I talk about it the next week. I'll either do a post or a reel. Usually I'll just do a quick live. Sometimes it's 10 minutes to go over everything. Sometimes it's 30. People can hop on, ask questions, or they can just message me right on there. It's super easy. I've even done like a live motherhood shoot where they could ask questions, which was really fun.
I love that.
So I'm adding in some like bigger things, which has been fun. I think it's great too. Like, I offer, like, I did like a mini mentoring yesterday that I don't offer to other people, and I'm offering it to subscribers. So you kind of get like ins from like, well, I could do this month for my subscribers, and offering them like some other perks they wouldn't normally get.
Yeah.
I also think it's a great way, since I like to teach, that people can come and sign up and be like, oh my gosh, I love Maggie. I want to get everything. Or they're going to be like, not my cup of tea. And I'm like, great, off you go. Like, I don't, I don't want people to invest in learning from me if they don't feel connected or if I'm not their thing. I always, the worst thing that could happen is I'd have somebody sign up for all this stuff, like a big mentoring from me, and then leave and be like, oh, I didn't either care for her or this wasn't what I expected. I want people to be happy and learn from who they want to learn from. So I always tell people, I'm like, it's your taste of if you want to hang out.
Appetizer.
Yeah. The appetizer. That's perfect.
That's perfect. Yeah. So how can they sign up for that if they're listening and they're interested in that?
They just go right on my Instagram and there's just a little subscribe button, so they can hit subscribe and they're in. The cool thing too is you get like access to all of the previous content. I have a lot of the people in it. They'll say, I just turn you on while I'm folding laundry and listen to you chat away about whatever. I'm like, that's perfect. That's just like a podcast, like a little custom podcast. So that's been the easiest way to go.
Oh, I love that. And you know what I love the most is that you ask them what it is they're wanting to learn. Cause I'm a big advocate of that as well as an educator. I'm always like, okay, what is it you guys are struggling with? What are we seeing in the industry? Like, what can we learn? Like in Art and Heart with our weekly calls, I'm like, what do you guys want to talk about? What's on your mind? Like, what is struggling with? Because that's what I want to teach. I don't want to teach what I feel like they need. I want to know what they want to learn about and need. And so I love that you do that. And like $4.99, come on, that's like nothing. Like it's seriously.
So cheap. Yes, that's- asking them is so great because sometimes they'll think of a topic. I'm like, that's a great idea that yeah. I would have never thought of or even knew that was maybe a struggle that people are having. So I think it's so important to make it like custom to them. Sometimes I'll get DMs. I'm like, please pick mine or
that's so cute. Okay,
I'll add it in. Yeah.
I'll add it in. Well, and I think too, understanding that that's important because we're all on different parts of our journey. And so like, maybe it's not something you or I think of because we're further down the road than somebody, but it's like, then we can think back once they say it, and we're like, oh my gosh, that's right. I did struggle with that too. Or that was a question I had. So it's like, everybody can learn from it. So that's, I love that. Oh, that's so exciting. Okay. I do have a quick rapid fire. I didn't prep you on this, but just a few random, it's just like fun questions at the end that I like to ask just to get okay. to know people a little bit. Okay. So what's your favorite light to shoot in?
Oh, like I said before, I like it if we're outside and it's like white puffy clouds that will cover the sun, but then also go away. And I have to run around like a chicken with its head cut off. That's my favorite.
So variety, right? You like variety. Yeah. What about your favorite lens?
Ooh, I have a 24mm Sigma Art. I don't shoot with it all the time, but it's my favorite.
It's your favorite. Okay. What's your favorite TV show?
Oh gosh. I love Stranger Things.
Oh, okay. Yep. How about your favorite food or restaurant to go to?
Oh, I love sushi. We live in the Midwest, so it's not like the world's best sushi, but if I'm going to be able to go out to eat, it's sushi.
Okay, good. And then what's the like most recent thing you purchased on Amazon or something that was funny? It doesn't have to be photography related.
Oh my gosh. I saw, you know, Instagram ads get me. It's like the Stanley cooler that you can put in that has the spout.
Oh my gosh. I've seen that. Oh my goodness.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
It's like a full cooler. And then you can pour. I'm like, that's perfect. That'll be great in the back. Like for like road trips or like sessions, just have ice water if anybody needs it. So that's in route. It'll probably be here today.
Oh my gosh. I love it. That's actually a really good idea for road trips. I didn't even think of it like that. That's awesome idea. Love that.
You run out of water and I'm like, I don't want to get a bottled water. Like, yeah.
Yeah. No environment. Hello. As I have some in my garage notes again. And then what about your favorite drink? So we already established you weren't drinking beer on the episode because you had a can and you wanted to make sure you clarified that.
It's not drinking beer in your podcast. I actually started drinking hop water and I really love it. It has like ashwagandha and L-theanine in it. So that's what I'm drinking. That's probably my current favorite thing. Other Ooh, than
can coffee. You show it though? Cause so I can just see, even though the listeners are like, what is it? Okay. Hop water. Interesting. I have not heard of that.
It's good. It's supposed to like be relaxing, but I mean, you could still like drive. It's not like,
yeah, no, got it. You're going to fall asleep after this. Well, this was so fun. Thank you so much for being on. I just love chatting about this with you. It's been incredible. Where can they find you on Instagram and all the things?
My Instagram is at Maggie.Reckemer. That's terrible. I was like, is it Maggie.Reckemer? Yes.
And then we'll have it linked in the show notes too, but just so they can hear it verbally as well.
Yep. And then MaggieReckemer.com is my website. And I'm updating on my branding right now. So I should have a new website rolled out hopefully in the next couple of weeks. It's just a lot of work.
Oh my gosh. That's so exciting. Well, thank you so much for being on. It's been incredible chatting about thinking outside the box for family photography. I just love this topic. And I think really, hopefully if what everyone takes from this, in my opinion, is like really being in alignment with who you are as an artist and really having your clients be the top priority of the session. Not what we want to shoot as photographers, but what our clients want that will represent them. What would you want to your biggest takeaway to be?
Yes, for people? I think the exact same thing. I want to have clients feel comfortable and feel like it's about them and not us creating like this preconceived notion of what a family session could be. It should just center around them.
Yay. Okay, good. Well, everyone needs to go out to Instagram and find Maggie, subscribe to her subscriptions. And I hope you have an amazing day, love.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored you asked me and I just adore you and your work. So I so appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
You too.
Thank you for joining us today on Fill Your Frame with Jillian Golding. Remember, you can always learn more about the podcast and what we chat about by visiting the description notes or visiting fillyourframepodcast.com. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or Audible. And if you've enjoyed today's show, please leave a review. It helps more people like you find our podcast. We are on Instagram at fillyourframe_podcast and at Jillian Golding. We'll chat next time. Bye-bye.